What's up, Packer fans and Vikings trolls? You have found the Packer Preview Podcast. Dave Sinekin here to get you set for the Packers opener Thursday night against the Chicago Bears. Obviously, this game happening before Packer Preview hits the radio on Sunday, so we're doing this podcast to get ahead of the bit. And then Sunday morning, 7 a.m. on The Fan, Packer Preview returns for season number 24. It'll be a Packer Review edition as we look back at the Thursday night opener, what went down, and look ahead to what this 2019 Packers season may have in store. And it's just great to be back, right? Season number 100, and why not? Packers-Bears, oldest rivalry, original clubs, getting back at it for the 199th version. It's been a great rivalry. The Packers have pretty much owned it since Brett Favre came around, and it's the third time in the last five seasons these two teams have opened up the season. They'll play in prime time for the 14th straight year. That's tied for longest in the NFL with the Cowboys and Giants. And as I'm sure you know, Packers have won eight of the last nine games at Soldier Field. Of course, the Bears have been miserable for most of the last 10, 20, let's go back to the 80s, 30 years. But they're the defending champs. They turned it around. Matt Nagy's offense was electric last year. And of course, the defense, once that Khalil Mack trade went down, changed everything for Chicago. More on the Bears and the opener in a moment. Let's start by looking at this roster that Brian Gutekunst has put together, his second year now running the team. And I like the fact that he's not willing or he's not afraid to give up on draft picks, to give up on trades that didn't work. I like the fact that DeShone Kizer was sent packing. I wasn't sure he'd have the guts to do it after making the trade, and he did. Well, look, we've seen enough of DeShone Kizer, right? I mean, the fact that, almost lost to Cleveland in what would have been an 0-16 Cleveland season if not for a Clay Matthews play defensively with Kizer running the show. We just haven't seen the improvement. The preseason, I think, crystallized that there's no future there. He's 23, maybe a new start kicks him in the butt and he finds some sort of form in Oakland if he's ever called on. But I'm glad the Pack went with Tim Boyle. I'd still like to see a veteran quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers. I thought maybe Brian Hoyer would be in the mix, and maybe they made a call, but the Colts pounced, as they should, with their unsettled quarterback situation behind Jacoby Brissett. I'd still like to see a veteran play caller behind Aaron Rodgers in the event that Rodgers goes down, and obviously the last few years that has happened from time to time. Tim Boyle is the next man up. It's a bit unsettling, but I prefer the upside to Tim Boyle to what DeShone Kizer had shown us. This roster has 15 undrafted free agents. That's remarkable. I don't know where that ranks among other teams. It seems high to me, and we've seen a lot of productive undrafted guys on this team over the years. Tremont Williams, the elder statesman of this team, was undrafted, and he leads a group of 15 guys, and a number of them will likely be called on to be contributors to this squad this year. I think the biggest question mark going into cutdown day was the wide receiver spot. Would they keep Shepard and Lazard? What would they do with EQ? And it crystallized, obviously. St. Brown's on IR, done for the season. And that opens the door for Darius Shepard. What a great story he is from NDSU. Not only undrafted, but then not signed in that flurry of undrafted free agents. He had to go through a tryout to show that he might belong. And, man, we saw him flash. We heard about it in practice. We saw him flash in games. I'm excited about the kid. He's got a hamstring. I doubt he'll be called on to do much early in the season. But once Trevor Davis ultimately gets hurt, which we know he will, Shepard will get called on to be the returner and be a receiver deep in that group and might show his stuff. I'm excited he got his chance. I still think Alan Lazard has a good chance to be a receiver in this league. It wouldn't shock me if he gets poached off the Packers practice squad if a team gets an injury to that group somewhere around the league. I know Jacksonville likes him. They had him before. But for now, he's still there, and I do think he has a future. But Jake Kumerow makes this team as, I think, the fourth receiver, I would say, behind the big three of Adams, Allison, and Valdez-Scantling. Again, Trevor Davis, healthy. He might be a secret weapon on this offense if he can stay healthy. We know he's a really good returner. But in this offense where you got those jet sweeps and you use those gadget guys like Tariq Cohen, obviously more of a running back, but Trevor Davis might be used in this offense to showcase his speed. And I'm curious to see how much they put on his plate. I don't know that we'll see it week one, but with that 10-day break leading into the Vikings game, you'll see some changes. We'll watch for Trevor Davis's role because that speed is something really nobody else on this roster has. Of course, the other big news items were the 2 second-round picks let go. Spriggs and Jones both were just massive flops. And again, glad that Goody was able to just swallow hard and say, all right, we missed. We'll move on and bring in better players, the guys that we think are better players. I like the overall roster, the depth of this roster. It's still a very young roster. I feel much better about the depth at offensive line than I did a year ago. Obviously, they spent big money on Billy Turner. He steps in at right guard. Bulaga is healthy for week one, and obviously he'll be dealing with Khalil Mack, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But the starting five across with Bakhtiari, Taylor edging out Elgton Jenkins at left guard. I like that too. I think Jenkins ultimately will have that job this season. But man, you start out first three games, Bears, Vikings, Broncos. That's three pretty staunch defenses to put a rookie right into the mix on. So I like the fact that they go with the guy they know has been there in Taylor. But I think Jenkins is too talented to stay off the field, and I think ultimately he'll be in there. Obviously, Lindsley back at center. You've got Turner now at right guard and Bulaga healthy at right tackle. I like the fact that, you know, if a tackle goes down, a year ago I was petrified. And look, if Bakhtiari goes down, that's a huge loss. He's the number two most important player on this team behind Rodgers, in my mind. And you got a guy in Alex Light who would step in. We don't know, you know, how effective he might be if needed, but if you have to, Billy Turner could swing out to left tackle. He'd be the backup right tackle and probably will be the right tackle next season. If you look ahead to next year, my guess is Bulaga moves on. Turner's your right tackle. Maybe Cole Madison steps in. I'm glad he made the roster. I thought that was questionable. He seemed more likely to be a practice squad candidate, but maybe they were afraid someone would pounce on him. I think he's got a nice future. This is probably kind of a redshirt year, barring injuries for Cole Madison. Just a lot more depth on the offensive line. I feel good about that. I don't real feel good about the depth at running back, however. I think Aaron Jones' health is such a huge factor for this team. I just don't think they're the same offense without him. Jamal Williams does not have the explosiveness, the burst, and there's a question whether his running style really fits this new offense. Dexter Williams barely made the roster in my mind. I still think they might scan the waiver wire and look at running backs, or at least they should. Certainly they will if there's an injury. But Aaron Jones is the only guy that gives that running game pop. So he hasn't proven he can stay healthy. He hasn't been given the lion's share of carries. He will be this season. Be watching very carefully and very closely how Aaron Jones does with an added bit of work, which we all expect him to get as the lead running back in this new offense. Let's go to tight end. Jimmy Graham makes this roster. Not a decision I was really on board with. Maybe he's got something left. He'll get a chance to prove it. He's already got a finger issue. Certainly a terrific receiver if that knee holds up. There's no guarantee it will. I do believe, I've said this on the radio a number of times this summer, I think this is the year Robert Tonyan steps into the starting role. I do. I think he'll end up being the tight end with the most yards, the most catches, the most snaps by the time the season's over. Jay Sternberger, the rookie, next year, I think it's Tonyan and Sternberger as your tight ends. Both of them need to learn to block a little bit. I think Tanyan's far enough down the road where he is a serviceable blocker in this offense. If you're looking for a George Kittle type, if you want to look at the San Francisco model, that's what Tonyan can do because he can block a little, and you want to keep the defense off balance. And a tight end that might be blocking, might be going out on a route, he's the one guy that could maybe fool defenses a bit. No one's going to believe Jimmy Graham's going to block, and Mercedes Lewis is a nice blocker, but at 30, what, 5, 6? Not sure what he has left as a receiver. Maybe a red zone target a bit, but I think Robert Tonyan steps into this role. I don't know when it happens, if it's Thursday night, if it's a month from now, but I do believe he's going to be a productive tight end in this offense. I do like the fact that he worked out all season with George Kittle. They've become good friends. Kittle obviously exploded on the scene last year. Maybe this is Tanyan's year to do that. So offensively, look, this season it's a mystery. It's kind of fun. I mean, for the last 13 years, we've known what to expect from the offense. Well, we didn't the first couple years, but once Rodgers got rolling, we knew how explosive this offense could be, but it kind of got stale. Certainly the McCarthy-Rodgers relationship soured a bit, and it was time for a change. And Rodgers has openly drooled about the offenses he watches in L.A. and in San Francisco and, you know, in Kansas City, and he's wanted a change. I think he's going to be really challenged and just ready and excited about learning a new offense and showing the world that, you know, it's not about his ego. He's not a diva. He is ready for a new challenge. And if he can stay healthy, we say that about every player, right? Rodgers, after what happened week one last year, and then he retweaked the knee in Detroit, and he just wasn't the same. That was part of his problem. Obviously, there are others to it. I don't think he had a real belief in the play calling, and he tried to do a little too much, and that got him into trouble. I'm going to go with that he buys in to this offense, and we see the old Aaron Rodgers. Now, how long will that take? That's the question. I think the good news is the Packers start with 5 home games in the first 7 weeks, including 3 in a row after the opener. And, you know, if you're on the road for the first 6 weeks with an offense that's still trying to figure things out in a loud stadium, it could be a really slow start. Now you get 5 out of 7 at home. Obviously, you have to win them, but you'll be in a friendly environment with quiet fans when you're on the field and a chance to kind of get comfortable. I don't think this offense will be what we see the first 2-3 weeks. I think it'll look a lot different in the back half of the season, which is a good thing because the schedule gets a lot tougher with the back-to-back road games in Kansas City and the Chargers and closing in Minnesota week 16 and a lot of road games the back half of the season. I think the schedule kind of matches where this team is right now. I think it's a good thing that they start out with a lot of home games. Let's check in the defense now because I am really excited about this defense. I'm a Mike Pettine Bobo. I've said it when they hired him. I like the way this guy coaches. I like the way this guy leads. He inherited a roster of defensive players that frankly didn't really fit physically the way he likes to fit, especially in the front 7. We move on from Clay Matthews and Nick Perry and get much bigger, stouter guys in the 2 Smiths. Bank account opened. Za'Darius and Preston Smith come to take over at outside linebacker. They move on from Mike Daniels, a bit of a surprise to me. But again, he is shorter and injury prone. Last year of his deal at 29, they were not going to re-sign him. I thought they might keep him for a lame duck year as a leader on the defense, but they move on from him and they put Montrevious Adams in and say, it's your 3rd year. It's time for you to step in. He is a key element to the defense this year, which is a bit scary because we've seen really nothing from him. Flashes, a game or two here and there, but now is his chance to step into this role. And we heard Mike Pettine over the summer say, no defensive player in this unit has improved more than Montrevious Adams, which is great in July, but let's see it against NFL starters on a big stage in prime time. We'll see it Thursday night if he's ready. Dean Lowry, capable, sturdy, nice third member of that line, and obviously Kenny Clark is the leader of the front and maybe the leader of the defense and the best player on the defense, and you want guys next to him that can play so they can't just double-team Kenny Clark and see if anybody else can beat him. So big, big season for Montrevious Adams. Biggest question mark has to be the middle of the defense. We know Blake Martinez will most likely lead the team in tackles. He's a very solid run stopper. But with Oren Burks hurt, there's not much next to him. We know the Packers have signed and on a trade, got B.J. Goodson from the Giants. I like the signing. Big guy, stops the run. He won't be ready for week 1, but he should be ready for the Vikings week 2, which is good with Dalvin Cook coming to town. So I don't know who gets does Ty Summers get some run Thursday night, the 7th round rookie? That seems a bit daunting, but there's really nobody else. They cut James Crawford. Maybe you get Raven Green, getting more of a shot as sort of that dime backer. It's going to be interesting. The Bears team is very electric, a lot of speed. You need guys that can tackle, and we'll see what they do about that spot until Oren Burks gets back. It does sound like Burks should be ready a few weeks into the season, and having Goodson there gives that spot a bit of depth, which was sorely lacking before the trade with the Giants. Secondary, I'm excited about the secondary. Obviously, you have to be excited about the safeties. The safety play last season was abysmal, and so was the outside linebacker play by Matthews and Perry. I think the Smiths definitely improved their the production there, and at safety with Adrian Amos taking over and the rookie Darnell Savage, how could you not be excited about the level of safety play compared to what we trotted out last year? A bunch of no-names, and it was ugly, and a lot of missed tackles, a lot of big plays, and I think they shored that up. Cornerback position looks deep. Kevin King, apparently. Wait, are you all sitting down? I'll give you a moment. Kevin King plans to play Thursday night, a real football game. Now, will he finish the football game? 50-50. I might take the under that he doesn't, but let's hope he does. The secondary looks so much better with Alexander on one side, King on the other. That's exciting. You got Tremont Williams, the crafty veteran in the slot. You got Tony Brown, the brash youngster from Bama that's ready to make a play and likely to be Kevin King insurance. And maybe Josh Jackson takes a step. I mean, every cornerback from Iowa turns out good. How come we can't have that? We've had it before. Jackson was a disappointment, too handsy. He was a yellow flag waiting to happen. Hopefully he takes that step in year two. The depth at corner, to me, is impressive. I'm just really bullish on the defense, and it's a big test against a Bears team that does a lot of crazy, wacky things. But I think overall this defense is deeper, much more talented than it was a year ago. So the roster, to me, looks solid, looks stronger than last year. So now we go to the storylines. And the big storyline nationally is Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, and how are they going to get along, and how much freedom does Rodgers have at the line of scrimmage? And I get that a lot of this is clickbait and looking for storylines. I just don't think it's a big story. So, of course, you're going to give Rodgers freedom at the line. He's a Hall of Famer the moment he retires. He's, you know, called by many the most talented quarterback to ever play the game. You're not going to handcuff him and say, all right, go to the line, and it's either play A or play B. And granted, that's been a feature of this Shanahan/McVay offense is, you know, you take a look at what the defense has, and if play A doesn't work, you go to play B. They look exactly the same, but you run something different. There's got to be a little more wiggle room with Rodgers. Now, we know he held onto the ball too long last year, threw a lot of balls away, tried to make the big play. I said it earlier, I think he buys in to this offense, and he trusts it early. Now, if things don't go well early and he tries to go off script a little bit, you know, it might get a little ugly, especially with receivers that he's still getting familiar with. But I think he is bought into this system, and he is going to trust it. And he knows that I've seen everything. And if I see something that isn't what we called, I'm going to change into it. And LaFleur has said, I'm fine with that. Why wouldn't I be? Look, this offense has been really, really good with a bunch of mediocre quarterbacks, you know. When Matt Ryan ran it, he won the MVP with LaFleur as his quarterback coach. When Jared Goff got it, he went from what looked like a bust to a guy worth $20 million a year. Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe he was great before, we didn't know. But he, while he was healthy, has proven he can run this offense. And the guys that filled in for Garoppolo, remember the Monday night game at Lambeau? Was it Mullins, the quarterback? That offense torched the Packers' defense. Now you've got a Hall of Famer running this offense. They haven't seen that before. So I'm excited about what Rodgers can do. And again, it's all about Aaron Jones staying healthy. Obviously, Davante Adams must stay healthy. And you hope these young receivers take the next step. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is going to have a big opportunity as defenses look to shut down Davante Adams and say, all right, somebody else beat us. Go for it. MVS has a chance to really be electric. And again, we talked about Tanyan working out with Kittle in the offseason. MVS worked out with Randy Moss in the offseason. He's got the speed, he's got the hands, he's got the big play potential, and if he can take that big step with the opportunity in front of him, this offense could be really exciting. And I think Allison taking over for Cobb in the slot, look, he's been really good when he's healthy. And again, got to stay healthy, got to stay on the field. And if he can't, you've got guys behind him that can play the slot in Jake Kumerow, in Darius Shepherd. So there's some depth there. So all in all, I think the roster's in good shape. The Vegas insiders say 9 wins for the Pack, 9 for the Bears, 9 for the Vikes. It's going to be a tight race in the North, and I think that's true. I think those three teams are all within a game or so, maybe 2 games. I think they all have chances to reach the postseason. Let's talk about the opener, all right? Bears, Packers, series dominated by Green Bay over the last whatever years. Rodgers, 17-5. Against the Bears. It's a tough spot. Look, let's be honest. The opener on Thursday night, usually the Super Bowl champ, has a huge advantage, right? You're at home. Everybody's geeked up. The crowd's going crazy. And the Packers have some things going against them, obviously. The offense has yet to take the field and play a meaningful game. I don't fault that decision. I think they really did plan to in week 2, and then Rodgers' back tightened up. And I think they really meant to in week 3. Then the field was an issue in Winnipeg. I'm all about erring on the side of caution. What are you going to get from a series or two in a preseason game? The defense is not doing anything to game plan you. It's vanilla stuff. You know, maybe you get LaFleur, in the headset to Rodgers and the communication and the speed, and you get a little bit of that for a series or two. But weigh that with the chance that Rodgers tweaks something and he's done. I mean, I'm okay with it, but now you got to start out in Chicago against as good a front seven as there is in football, if not as good a defense as there is in football. Bears shocked everybody last year, right? And things have changed a little bit. Their genius defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, is gone. He's the head coach in Denver. Bears fans will say, well, we got Chuck Pagano. He's been a great coach out east in Baltimore and then, of course, in India as a head coach, and nothing's going to change. Well, that's not true. Things will change. He's not Vic Fangio. And the defense, I don't believe, will be quite as dynamic for a couple reasons. Lost a couple guys. We know Adrian Amos is now in the Packers. They replace him with Ha Ha Clinton Dix, who talks a big game and will flash and pick a pass off every now and then. But we all know he misses tackles, he takes bad angles, and looks to blame other people. And we'll see with all those stars around him if he can help elevate that defense. But that's a step backwards, a large step backwards from Amos to Clinton Dix. Another big step backwards. They lost their slot corner, Bryce Callahan. Buster Crean is their nickel corner. He's terrible. Look for Geronimo Allison to put up big numbers Thursday night against Buster Crean. Rodgers always looks for the matchups that look the most appealing. And yes, Adams will still get the most targets, as he will every week, as well as he should. Let him go up against Kyle Fuller. Let the best man win. I like our chances. But you look for mismatches, Buster Crean is a disaster. And I think there's a big chance over the middle of the field for Rodgers to hook up with Allison, Kumaro, whoever's in there, to take advantage of Buster Crean. But otherwise, defensively, they're very solid. Eddie Jackson at safety. The front seven does not have a weakness. Look for Roquan Smith, the second-year linebacker, I think will take a big step up in his second season. Obviously, with Khalil Mack and Hicks, Goldman, they got studs. But I think the Packers' offensive line is solid. And, I mean, that Bulaga-Mack matchup's going to be one to watch. When Mack went really nuts last year, week one, remember when Bulaga went out for a while? That's when Mack made his hay. I think Bulaga, look, Mack's going to make his plays, and you're going to have to double-team him a bit. But Bulaga's up to that challenge now that he's healthy. You know, a few weeks from now, we'll see where Bulaga's knees are, if there's still some cartilage in there, and he can still stand. But for right now, he's healthy, and I think he'll do an okay job against him. The Bears will go as far as their offense will take them. The defense, one more note on them, they were plus 12 in the turnover battle last year. They had 27 interceptions. The next closest team had 21, that was the Dolphins. That's because everybody threw on them because they could, and Miami picked some off. But most teams were in the teens, 17, 18 picks. The top 10 all had that. The Bears had 27. That's not happening again. That just does not. You look at the history of teams that have that kind of success with turnovers, it tends to not duplicate the next year. They were plus 12 overall a year ago. Packers were at zero. I think Green Bay takes the ball away a couple times Thursday night. It might be the difference in the game. I think this team that Pettine has is going to be much more opportunistic. They're more talented. They're going to put more pass rush on, force the quarterback into mistakes. And again, this offense, that's where the Bears, it'll go as far as Trubisky takes him in year three. He's had his ups, his downs. Where he's dangerous because of his head coach is that first 10-12 plays. When they script out the start of the game, we saw it last year, week one, went right down the field. Trubisky's very good. When he's on task, on schedule, has a script. And I expect the Bears to jump out early. I do. I think they'll score in their first or second series because that's their history. But let's let the game go on and the defense settle in. And this offense surprised a lot of people. We didn't know what to expect with Matt Nagy last year. Now we've seen 16, 17 games, have a lot better idea of what this offense can do. Biggest change for their offense is they moved on from Jordan Howard, who is now an Eagle. They draft Iowa State's David Montgomery, who is that's a step up from Jordan Howard. I think Montgomery is in line for a big season. He's a very talented back. We'll see how much workload they give him. They still have Tariq Cohen, the third down master. Very dangerous complement. So two really, really solid running backs in my mind. And the receiving core is very good, too. Allen Robinson's a year removed from the ACL. You figure he'll be better. I don't know about Anthony Miller's health, but they have Taylor Gabriel. They now have Cordarrelle Patterson to run some gadget plays and see if he can be in the mix. So a lot went right for the Bears last year. Mentioned the turnovers. They stayed healthy for the most part. That's been an issue with their defense in previous years. They played a last-place schedule, and they had an offense that nobody knew what to expect. Whole different story this year with the new coordinator, a couple new pieces on defense, a first-place schedule, an offense we've seen before. Obviously, health remains to be seen. And maybe the biggest question mark for the Bears is their special teams, in particular their place kicker. It's been an absolute revolving door in Chicago as they let Cody Parkey walk after the double doink and the crossbar and everything else that went wrong in the playoff game against the Eagles. They have something called Eddie Pinero as their place kicker. I kind of thought whoever the Packers cut, Crosby or Ficken, might end up in Chicago. And that still might be the case, especially if Pinero struggles on Thursday night. But, man, you tell me right now, Thursday night's going to come down to it's 21-20 Pack with 8 seconds left, and Pinero has a 42-yard field goal. Give me that. I'll take that right now. I'll take my chances after watching him in preseason. And can a youngster on that stage in prime time in the final seconds deliver? Yeah, maybe he can, but I'll certainly take my chances. And that's got to be a huge concern for the Bears, not having a reliable place kicker. When you're a Super Bowl contender, as the Bears believe they are and most believe they are, I just think it's a real, real mistake to not go find a veteran kicker. And I get it. They're hard to find. They're not all reliable. Atlanta just signed Matt Bryant, who they had forever. He was out on the street. There are a lot of good names that are available that have kicked in big games before. To go with a young, unproven kicker when so many games come down to that, well, it just might bite him in the butt. Maybe not Thursday night, but as the season goes on. So that's got to be a concern, I believe, for the Chicago Bears at that position. As far as the Packers and special teams, Crosby wins the job. I'm happy about that. Ficken was fine. The missed extra point in the last preseason game was a bit scary, but otherwise Crosby was perfect this preseason. I know he struggled a bit. Certainly the Detroit game last year was one for the ages, but I'm happy Crosby keeps that job. And I think J.K. Scott, in his second year at punter, he's had a terrific preseason. I think he's a real weapon, and they drafted him last year believing he could be a long-term answer at punter, and I think he takes another step in his second year. So I think special teams-wise, with those two guys back, and if Trevor Davis can stay on the field, unlike previous seasons, I think special teams has a chance to be a lot better. Now we'll see if they can tackle and if they can cover and do all that stuff, because that's been an issue. We have a new special teams coach, and there were some shaky coverage units we saw during the preseason. So that's a bit of a concern for me, especially in an opener. Don't want to give the Bears a short field. Don't want to give them any edges. It's a tough spot. We know that the history's great, but with these two rosters have never faced each other, and these two coaches have never faced each other, and there are some issues with Matt LaFleur running a team out there for the very first time in prime time in Chicago with a manic crowd, the communication with Rodgers, just to having everybody settle down. I think it might get kind of shaky early. But if Mike Pettine's defense can maybe, as I thought, Chicago could start out fast. If they settle down, get a couple turnovers like I think they will, I think this game does come down to the end and give the Packers a very good chance. I find it interesting, and I mentioned this with PA on the Fan on Monday, that the spread is 3 points, which basically is home field advantage, which now you're saying these two teams are even and we'll give the Bears the 3 points. I would have thought the line would be about 5. And I feel like it's almost a sucker bet for football fans that look at that and they want action and they say, 3 points against a first-year coach and an offense that hasn't even played this year and a bunch of new guys on defense going on the road to play the defending North champs with Mack and all those weapons? Give me the Bears. I just think that's almost a sucker bet. It seems too obvious. I think this game is tight. I think it's within 3 points. I mean, likely it's going to be single digits. Most of the games between these two teams lately have been single-digit affairs. I think there's a reason that line's 3. I think they're tempting people to bet the Bears. I think the Packers are going to be right there toward the end. As I said, give me a Pinero field goal attempt, and let's see if he can do it. Or is it Pinero? We'll go with Pinero because there's an O at the end. Sneaky suspicion. The Packers sneak this one out. I think it's low scoring. Obviously, special teams and turnovers can change that. But I think both defenses are the stars of this game, and I think that's fairly typical early in NFL seasons is the defenses are ahead. I think in this case, obviously, Chicago's defense is strong. I think the Packers' defense He's going to surprise a lot of people this year. I think it starts Thursday night. I think they take the ball away. I think they shut this offense down when they need to. And look, it's the Bears. I'm from Milwaukee. I grew up despising the Bears. It's in my blood. I will never pick the Bears to beat the Packers. I will pick with my heart. When it comes to Packers-Bears, I'm going to use a bit of my head, too. I just have a sneaking suspicion. Pack 21, Bears 20. And the Pack gets a nice 10-day bye and rest and get ready for the purple for the home opener a week from Sunday. We'll see if I'm right. We'll talk about it Sunday morning. Packer preview on the Fan, 7 a.m. or just podcast it whenever you wake up. You can find it at KFAN.com under podcasts or iTunes, Apple, all those fun places. You should be able to find it. Just dial up Packer preview. That's it for now. Can't wait for the opener Thursday night. Packers-Bears to kick off the 100th season with Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur and company heading down to Soldier Field. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you tune in Sunday. Enjoy the 2019 football season. And as always, go Pack.